Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you today from Mumias, Kenya. It's nice and bright and sunny here today, and we thank the Lord for good weather. I hope you're enjoying good weather where you're at, and I pray for those who are coming and on the highways and byways of America that they would be blessed with good weather as they travel. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 6. We're going to look at two prophecies spoken by the prophet Isaiah, and these prophecies were spoken 600 to 700 years before Jesus Christ stepped foot on the earth, before he came as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so Isaiah was given the revelation and the knowledge of the coming of the Savior way before most people ever knew about it. There were a few prophets before Isaiah that knew about it, but for the most part, he was speaking about Jesus all through the book of Isaiah, all through his prophetic ministry. He spoke about every aspect of Jesus' life. And so if you want to read much of the prophecies about Jesus, read the book of Isaiah and come to know the fact that God revealed to his prophets way, way before Jesus came. God revealed to his prophets that his son, Jesus Christ, was going to come to this earth. He had a mission to come here. He was going to come and fulfill his mission. And he was going to be our Lord and our Savior. And so Isaiah talks about this in chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But Isaiah is saying, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, we know now, after not just studying the Bible, but through the revelation of other manuscripts, secular manuscripts recorded the coming of Jesus, the Old Testament prophecies are validated by other manuscripts that were written by people who did not make the canon, or they weren't divine inspiration. They did not make the canon of the Bible, but they are accurate historically, and they are accurate to give us a picture of what was going on in Israel at that time, in Bethlehem at that day. And so Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, you understand that we in the Christian faith, we understand that the Trinity is the foundation of God's kingdom. The Trinity is the fact that God exists in three persons. And for those of you who've never studied the Bible or know about each of those persons, you may be a bit confused by it. You may wonder, especially if you're coming from another religion where there are many gods and many false gods, many idols, that how can you Christians say that you have three gods? How can you say that God exists in three persons? Well, we don't have three gods. We have one God, God the Father, but he exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He manifests in three different ways, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all the foundation of the Christian faith. God gives us the Holy Spirit when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God gives us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to intercede for us, to be our counselor, our advocate. But God also gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus could go to the cross for us, that Jesus could shed his precious blood, because our sin has separated us from God. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the free gift of God is salvation, or is eternal life, through his Son, Christ Jesus. And so all have sinned. Every single one of us have sinned. God knew from the beginning that he was going to have to send his Son. He knew from the beginning that there would only be one way to salvation. There would only be one path that would suffice for salvation. The righteousness of Jesus Christ would have to take our place on the cross. The righteousness of Jesus Christ sets us free from our own sin and from our own iniquity. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is unlike the righteousness of any man. We all sin, we all lie, we all steal, we all cheat, we all lust with our eyes, and we have all kinds of hidden sin, we have all kinds of overt sin, covert sin, sins of omission, sins of commission. And God knew from the beginning when he put Adam and Eve in the garden that there would be a strong possibility, and not only a strong possibility, but because God is all-knowing, he knew Adam and Eve would eventually sin, and they did. They entertained the temptation of Satan, and they cooperated, you might say, with the temptation of Satan. And so God knew from time beginning, and even before time began, I guess you would say, because God is outside of time, that we would need a Savior to cover our sin, that we would need a Savior to shed his precious blood and pay the price, pay the ransom for our sin, that we could be reconciled back to God. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that child who was laying in a manger in Bethlehem, that child who was laying in swaddling clothes, and the news of his coming was announced to the shepherds, that he who knew no sin would become sin on our behalf, that we could know the righteousness of God, that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he grew up, he became a man, he started to minister when he was 30 years old, that he became a man, and he shed his precious blood. He had his eyes on the cross from the very beginning. When he was 12 years old, he stood up in the temple, and he started to teach, and all of the scribes and the Pharisees were shocked because they said, "Who is this man, Jesus? He teaches with great authority." And Jesus knew at that time that he had the anointing to teach. He knew he was the Son of God. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God knew from the beginning that his Son, his precious Son who was sitting beside him in heaven, would have to be the intercessor and be the ultimate sacrifice to cover our sin, that his precious blood of his only Son would be the only payment that would suffice so that we could be reconciled back to God. And you know, in Genesis 1:26, it says that God created us in our own image. That is to say, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were in heaven together, and they said, "Let us create man." This is on the sixth day of creation. And they said, "Let us create man in our image." And so in the image of God, they created man. And so Jesus Christ also, when he came to the earth, he looked like a man. He was a man like us. He had hands, he had feet, he had eyes, ears, and he had a will. He had emotions. And Jesus wept when he was at Lazarus' tomb. He had emotions. He felt the same pain, the same sorrow, the same joy that we do here on this earth. But the only difference was this child, this baby who came in a manger, this baby grew up to be the sinless one. And this child, from the beginning, God knew that he would be the ultimate sacrifice and the only way that we could be reconciled back to God. Well, again, in verse 6, it says, "And the government will be upon his shoulder." I believe the Lord is speaking about the apostolic government there, but he's also speaking about the natural government. The apostolic government is the apostle, the sent one, the one who establishes the foundation, and the one who establishes the government for the kingdom of God. Everywhere where the apostle was sent, they established the government of God, they established the foundation, and everything else then was built upon that apostolic foundation. Paul, the apostle Paul, said everywhere in that he went, he said, "I don't want to build on someone else's," that he was speaking of another man. I don't want to build on another man's foundation, but I want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and I want to lay the foundation so that others can come along then and build on that. And so the apostolic government is that government of God that goes forward into new territory. It goes forward into places where the gospel has never been preached before. And so that is the government will be upon his shoulder. Jesus Christ, the great apostle, the government is on his shoulder. I was blessed this last week to be in rural southwest Kenya in Kisii County. It's one of the most remote counties. It's mountainous, and so the people are a bit isolated from the rest of Kenya, and the people are very hardworking. They're industrious. Reminds me a bit of my days in Arkansas. The sounds echo off the hills and down into the valleys, and the blessing for me was just to be able to share with some people. They'd never seen a Mzungu, they'd never seen a white man. A few years ago, I was there in 2014 and preached a crusade, and I went with my brother Sammy Bosire, who is a Kisii, speaks Kisii, and Sammy took me up to his home village way up on this mountain down by Oyugis, and I was the first Mzungu ever to sleep in his compound. I slept in his mother and father's mud house on their compound. And so many Mzungas now come to Kisii, the main city, but out in the rural areas, there's very few Mzungas, very few white men that have been there. So I had an apostolic calling to go there to establish a foundation of government. And just as Jesus, I was taking a foundation there. And the Bible says the government will be upon his shoulders. But as I spoke before, the natural government also is on the government of Jesus Christ. You know that we have the Ten Commandments in America. We also have the constitutional law, which is based on the Ten Commandments. The same applies here to Kenya. We have constitutional law, which is the law of the land here in Kenya since 2010, the new constitution. And the Constitution is also based on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so the law here in Kenya looks very, very similar to our law in America. And the Romans chapter 13, it tells us in the first four verses of Romans chapter 13 that the natural law and the natural government is established or ordained by God. In other words, the governments that we sit under and operate under and that are in authority over us here in this natural world, whatever country you're in, those governments are established by God, and the leaders of those governments are raised up and they are established by God. And so the natural government pretty much mirrors, or in most instances mirrors, the government of the kingdom, because you have God the Father, God the Son, you have the Holy Spirit, and in natural government or natural law, you have presidents and you have vice presidents and you have cabinet members and you have MPs or ministries of the parliament, or you have congressmen in America. And so the natural law also is established by lines of authority, down to policemen, down to councilmen, down to the mayor. And in the kingdom of God, you have lines of authority. You have God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Spiritual realm, you have elders and deacons, pastors, apostles, evangelists, prophets. And so these are the natural that reflects or is an image of that which has been laid down in the spiritual. All right, then we go into the names of Jesus Christ here. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, I'll stop right there. These are the names that Isaiah prophesied Jesus would be called. His name will be called Wonderful. Well, anybody who is saved, anybody who has been born again and has the blessings of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I dare say that you would be at a loss without Jesus. You would be at a total loss without Jesus. I can't imagine for myself what I would be without Jesus. I can't imagine what I would be doing without Jesus. I've done many things in my life. I've been a carpenter. I've been a farmer. I've been somewhat of a teacher. Worked in a chemistry lab. I have a degree in civil engineering, environmental science, water chemistry. I've done many things in the natural, but to serve Jesus Christ and to be able to go and share the good news of Jesus, it is so wonderful. I can't tell you how else to describe it other than just to say my relationship with Jesus is wonderful. It is a blessing to me, and I hope it's a blessing to you and to other people. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sure you could agree that His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. And He is wonderful in every way. You can talk to Him. You can laugh with Him. You can cry with Him. You can sing to Him. You can praise Him. And you can come to know Him in a deep way. You can actually walk with Him as you're here on this earth. You can walk with Him. You can see Him in heaven. All of these things people do. All of these things people come to know Jesus in a very, very intimate way. It's not just about you see His name on a page here in the Bible or you sing His name in a song. You can actually come to know Him in a very intimate way and a very personal way. He can become your wonderful Savior. Well, His second name that Isaiah says is He is our Counselor. Well, He is our Counselor because when you come to know Jesus, you can talk to Him anytime. And He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He will baptize you. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist was speaking about his cousin Jesus. He said, "There's one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am willing to untie. I baptize you with water for repentance, but this one who's coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our Counselor. The Holy Spirit is our Advocate, but Jesus Christ also is our Counselor. You can speak to Him at any time. He never sends you a bill. He doesn't charge you any fee. You can speak to Him in the middle of the night. You can speak to Him early in the morning. You can speak to Him during the day. Jesus Christ is always there to answer your questions, to encourage you, and to let you know that the peace that comes from knowing Him can be with you at any time. When you have stress, when you have depression, when you have doubt, the blessings and the peace of Jesus Christ will always be there with you to counsel you. And then the third name, Jesus, is called Mighty God. And this throws some people, it's a little bit confusing because they say, well, how can Jesus be called Mighty God when we have Jehovah as Mighty God? Well, Jesus is God. He is the Son. He is the Son of God, but He also is God. He is fully God. He was fully man and fully God. And so He is Mighty God also as well. Well, don't let that trip you up doctrinally and say, well, Jesus then is God. He doesn't have a father. No, Jesus has a father. His name is Jehovah. Jehovah is also God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is also God, the God with us. And so Jesus' name was called Mighty God. Mighty God. He is mighty in every way. He could have stopped Himself or prevented Himself from going to the cross. He said, I could have called a legion of angels or 10,000 angels to come and rescue me. But He let the soldiers carry Him to His trial and be chastised, be whipped, be scourged. And all of that was a fulfillment of prophecy because Jesus said, I came to seek those who were lost. I came to seek and to save those who were lost. And so He knew that part of His mission was to go to the cross and to shed His precious blood for us. And Jesus knew it, and He set His eyes on the cross because His joy was to serve. His joy was to be obedient to His Father. And so He went to the cross and fulfilled all of the prophecies that had been spoken over Him. Well, again, His name spoken of here by Isaiah is Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Well, He is our Everlasting Father, just as Jehovah God is also our Everlasting Father. Again, don't let this trip you up doctrinally. Everything that you could call Jehovah, in a way, you can call that Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God. He's not Jehovah God. He is Messiah, who came to save us from our sins, but He is an Everlasting Father to us. He exists for all eternity. He was in all eternity past. Again, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit were there before man was created. And so Jesus existed before all creation. He existed before time, or before earthly time was counted. And so he is our everlasting Father. We are sons to him, just as he is a son to Jehovah, his Father. And then the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is our peace. My peace I give unto you, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Those of you out there listening today, if you don't have peace in your life, if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life, and your peace is fleeting and it's vanishing, and you're full of jitters, you're full of nerves, and you just don't have any peace in living your life, you need to know Jesus. You need to bow your knee to Jesus. You need to confess his name, and the peace that comes through knowing him then can be yours. It is not a peace that we can have here on this earth, or that is, that comes from the earth. We can have it, but it does not come from the earth. It comes from knowing him. And when you have peace from knowing Jesus, you know you're on the right path. You don't have to question whether you're saved. You don't have to question, are you doing good enough things to be saved? None of that will be entering into your mind. When you are saved, and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. You will know that you will know that you will know that you are saved. And no one and nothing can, as long as you continue to confess his name, as long as you continue to say, Jesus, I am yours and you are mine, then you are saved and nothing can come between you and God. Well, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And that is certainly true, beloved. I see evangelists all over Africa, from the little tiny crusades with 100 people out in front of the platform to Reinhard Bonnke and Daniel Kalenda with millions at one meeting. Reinhard had 3 million people in one meeting here in Africa, in Nigeria, back in the early part of the 2000s. And so the increase of his government, it just keeps going and going. And I'm always fascinated at all the ways God uses people to bring people to his kingdom, that God uses people to speak the good news of the gospel. And so we are happy to be here in Africa. We take joy in being able to serve our Lord and our Savior, and to keep the increase of his government and peace coming to the remote areas and even to the big cities here in Africa. There will be no end to his government and peace, and upon the throne of David. Jesus was called the son of David. David was a ancestor of Jesus Christ. They're both from the tribe of Judah. And David was from Bethlehem, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So Jesus' family heritage was through Bethlehem, that city. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Well, the zeal of Jesus Christ will perform it. Through him, all things are held together. Through him, all things were created. Through him, all things will happen. Through all eternity, his coming will be the culmination of the age, and the millennial reign then will be established at the end of this earthly time, and Jesus will reign. We will rule and reign with him. We will sit down and sup with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so all of these things are yet to come. And the zeal of our Lord, the zeal of his passion, that everyone should know him, that everyone should be reconciled back to him, his very own zeal will accomplish it. And he uses men to perform all of these things here on this earth to bring people to a knowledge of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Gathered the Outcast is inspired to bring you these messages. We're inspired to share the good news of the gospel here in Africa and all over the world through these radio broadcasts. Just this week had people ask me here in Africa how they could get the studies of the Gathered the Outcast. And I said, go to the radio broadcast on the internet and you will have studies and you will have radio messages going back many years. And so we thank you for your support. We thank you for your love for sharing the gospel along with me, that I will continue to do that here in Africa as long as God wills it and gives me the strength, that I will continue to be blessed to have a strong body, a strong mind, and share the good news of the gospel. And you can be part of that. You can continue to help pray for me and help support this ministry by your donations, by your prayers, by your acts of kindness. And so we invite you to make a donation here as this year ends. Make a donation, sit down, write out a check to Gather the Outcasts. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these broadcasts. Tell us what you like about them. And so we thank you for those who are doing that. We invite all of you to partner with us and make this ministry even greater in the years to come. So we thank you. Stay tuned for contact information. Once again, this is Jim Rao. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.